Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? You are listening to Money Talk Live Uncut. I am one of your hosts. I am Ryan Stone, the Prosperity Professor.
And what's going on, everybody? I'm your man with a plan,
Brandon Anthony Clark. What's going on, everybody? I'm your man with a plan, Brandon Anthony Clark. You're now listening to Money Talk Live Uncut. We are super excited to be here with you today. We all set up. This is actually one of the very first times, I think, that we kind of got the systems.
We got it down, man.
Kind of. We kind of got them down, man. I just found out that on Instagram and TikTok, we're not live. But we are going to keep it rolling anyway. We're going to keep the party going. Nothing wrong with that.
Well done. Well done.
You feel me?
Well done. Well done. I had to drop that little clap track. Applause, man. You gotta celebrate the wins sometimes, Brandon, as little as they are. And we talked about this before on the show, is anytime you do have a little win, you gotta celebrate that success. Because too often, at least for me, we are very critical beings and we're very easy to criticize on ourselves and on others. And if you're building self-confidence, you want to kind of do the opposite. You don't want to criticize your other people, and you certainly don't want to criticize yourself as much. And so let's just celebrate that success, man. We're getting it down, and I appreciate everybody that's listening in. We are live on what right now? TikTok.
Man, we're live on NSF Fatherhood Radio. We're live on TikTok. We're live on Instagram. We're live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube. So if you all planet Earth, you can get in touch with us right now. You might even better get in touch with us on the moon. I don't know if the technology reaches that far, but I imagine it would. They got satellites and stuff out there floating around, right? At least that's what they tell us.
Beep, 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 beep. So, we'll be there soon.
Yeah, man.
So I'm really excited about this show tonight, Brandon. I really am, because – and it seems like this show is really a little bit of a diary for us, because it's – I don't know if this is the case for you, but – it seems like we talk on the show about things that are coming up with our clients that particular week. Mm-hmm. And I just have a lot of clients that messaged me for the first time, some new people that are introducing themselves and I'm learning about them. And then I also have some older clients that are kind of undergone some challenges this year, along with many people with COVID, obviously. And I'm finding myself just trying to coach them into a different perspective about money. And that may come down to where and what to actually do with it, but it is also often starts out as a conceptual conversation. Traditional financial plan to our degradation, to our destruction.
Too many times. Are you getting that feedback? I'm kind of getting some feedback here. I can't kind of. Audio's going in and out. I don't know if that's on one of the platforms there, but just through the radio. I'm listening through the radio here. So
on the radio, I am getting a little bit of feedback, but it's too much.
You feel that? Kind of like where you're going in and out a little bit. See, guys, we don't have it all the way figured out yet, but we're getting there. We're getting better and better every day.
Honestly,
we're getting better and better every day.
For me, it's pretty good. I just hear a little bit of white noise behind.
A little bit of feedback.
It sounds good on Instagram, too.
Okay. All right. So, maybe it's just my phone. So
I know. Okay. Yeah. I do hear a little bit of white noise, but I don't think it's too bad.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to have – I'll just listen to the feedback. It's all good. Crisis averted. All right. But anyway, let's pick up where you left off, Ryan.
I mean, obviously, it just comes down to conceptual conversation, and the reason why there's teaching needed is traditional financial plan, structure, strategies, like commandments almost. Truth is they're not working for people. Right? And what are some of them?
Yeah.
Too many people are trading precious time for money. And then they use all of what they have to just barely keep themselves closed and pay the bills. But what if there was another way? What if there was a way to leverage money to work for you so that you could save your time? What if there was a way to automatically help you from $1 to $2? And I think that's a different conceptual way of thinking. And it starts off with just how you view money, the psychology of money. Would you agree?
Yeah, man, I agree. And I think I'm going to take my time to talk about this and teach this concept tonight because it's kind of like you just said, man, I see far too many people. What they do basically is they, number one, trade their time for money, save a little bit, and then they invest a little bit, right? Save a little bit for a rainy day, invest a little bit for a rainy day, because that's kind of like what they're taught, right? And I need for everybody to kind of really break down what the word invest means. I think people throw that word invest around too loosely. They throw it around too loosely, thinking that it's the same thing as banking, right? Or becoming your own banker, so to speak, right? And so when we're talking about how to turn $1 into $2, well, that's what banks do time and time and time again. That's exactly, yeah, right. They got a printing press, right? But how does that printing press actually really work? Because it's all built on faith, concept, belief, because we believe in it, right? And so they have, I want to say they, I'm going to just say most people look at money and they think green pieces of paper. When people look at money and they think green pieces, well, first of all, if that's you, if you look at money and you think green pieces of paper, then you are in the 99% of people who don't even know what money is. Money is not green pieces of paper. What do I mean by that? The thing that you trade the green pieces of paper for is money. The thing that you trade the green pieces of paper for is money. So money is value, right? Money is value. Things that have a purpose have a value. Things that don't have a purpose don't have a value, right? So whenever you trade those green pieces of paper in for something, it's because you place a value on whatever you're trading that piece of paper for. Because you want that amount. You want that other thing so much that you're going to trade those green pieces of paper for. Because if the green pieces of paper had any real monetary or intrinsic value, then why not just keep the green pieces of paper?
That's right. But that, and then that right there, that's what most people are doing, right? They're just,
they keep the green pieces of paper.
Extra at all, they're hoarding it, and holding on to it in a savings account. I talked to a gentleman the other day on the paintball field about money, and he's like, I have it on safety deposit boxes all over the country. My parents know how to get it if I die. And I was like,
what is cash?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that case in point, he placed more value on the safety deposit box than he does actually the money. Technically, if he thought about it that way, right? If he thought about it that way, you know. And so with that kind of being said, man, I want to try to break this concept down because it literally took me years to understand this because, unfortunately, the community – that I was brought up, the way I was brought up, probably the way the majority of the world, not just a community, the world is brought up, placing value on fiat money or paper dollars. Has anybody ever played the game of Monopoly? I think we've all played the game of Monopoly before.
And, love that. I need to get it from my house.
Yeah, for real, bro. It's such a great game, and that there's so many principles that can be taught through that game that you actually can take and apply to real life. And so what am I saying by that, Ryan? Man, when you play Monopoly, what is the object of that game? What are we trying to do in that game of Monopoly?
Own the board.
Own the board.
Own
the board.
And outlive everybody else going bankrupt.
Is the object of the game to just, you know, pass, go, and collect our money and just keep our money?
Now you'll lose that way.
Yeah, why do we lose that way? I'm just curious. Why do we lose them?
If you do not secure a piece of action just in the game, I mean, I think most people could connect dots with metaphor. But in Monopoly, you play the game, and you only go through the game collecting your $200 as you go around the wheel, and you never buy a piece of asset to bring you more income, well, then your income is always going to go out the door. And incrementally more as time goes on. Because as time goes on, all your friends, opponents, grandma, and aunt, they start buying everything up. And so the more times you take it around the ring, the faster you're going to lose money, unless you stop and change your strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that strategy is to get some property, own some things on the board. And so I want everybody who's listening to this right now is to take inventory of their life and the things that they own and how many things or pieces of property are
assets.
Making them money. Assets. Things that other people have to pay you to use. Right?
Exactly.
Assets.
And a lot of people,
things that other people have to pay you to use.
Right. If you are checking your inventory, you consider your own house an asset. Would simply argue, rephrase those people back to what you just said. I want to highlight
mm-hmm.
that. An asset
highlight it, man.
Pays you money. An asset pays you money. So simply owning a house, I just spoke a lady today. She was like, I can't wait to pay off the mortgage off my home, and then I'll own it. And I said, okay, listen to this, Brandon. I said, okay, you'll own it. And then other than the psychological benefit of fully and completely owning your home, what other benefit is there? She couldn't define one. I asked, what's the interest rate on your loan? She said 0%.
0%.
It's a lease to own. She's got a 0% interest. Why would you rush to pay off a loan that costs you nothing to have?
Right.
Why?
I
literally had to break through with her. Well, if you did that, what if that money was earning you something elsewhere that then paid off the mortgage?
Right.
And that's a completely different flip. So you mentioned
that's
you wanted to kind of break this up into different pieces. And I think, you know, now being quite a bit into the show, we should get into that sequence that we talked about. And this is really near and dear to my heart. And that's why I'm kind of being a strict guy here with the schedule. I want these points to be covered. The first one, we really kind of separated the basic paradigm that – oh, I think your Instagram ended, buddy. Got to refresh that.
Yeah, working on that right now, man.
All right, cool. That's good that I'm on it though, right?
We
got it down now.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, I wanted to – we wanted to break that down. So what are like the three epitomes of the basic financial – roadmap for most people, right? Go to school, get a job, save in a 401k, pay off your mortgage, and retire on your 401k on a 4% leak.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's traditional paradigm, right? That's what most people are taught to do. That's what Dave Ramsey says. That's what a lot of the big bankers will tell you. If you go into any investment fund like Charles Schwab, they're going to ask you, are you maxing out your 401k? But I just want to question it for a second. So let's start off with that first one. And I want to tell you a story, man.
Okay.
The school that I most recently worked at is a small charter school in West Oakland. It's an amazing place with amazing people that work there. Like literally people that go above and beyond for their jobs that pay them piss poor salary. Like what most people agree, teachers are not paid a lot. They go above and beyond for their kids, for West Oakland kids, typically have a lot of financial hardships and challenges because of generational racism and things that have integrated against them over generations. And long story short, the school is closing at the end of the year. There's just no more funds, the charter, the board, a lot of things. But long story short, there's a lot of amazing, amazing teachers, educators, worried about where their next paycheck is going to come. And I'm talking about incredibly skilled people that are resilient and have so much creativity when it comes to education and just being a teacher. Teachers have 10,000 thoughts a day, right? It's literally nonstop. Like, teachers are amazing, amazing people, and they're worried about how they're going to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from a different mind frame that we've taught ourselves over the years, where we now see money differently.
I see it differently.
We've been working the past few years at setting ourselves up. I retired from teaching after 12 years. Right? And meanwhile, these guys are worried about where their next paycheck is going to come from. And so this is near and dear to me. I see my old friends that are troubled about what's going next. And so if I can do anything just to talk to one person about how to see money differently, which I think we're going to get some actual concepts in the next half of the show, then let's rethink the need for a job. Let's just talk about that for one sec. Okay. Jobs are basically having you trade your hours for money. And if anybody's heard my story, you know that I used to work 120 hours in a week, working seven different jobs while in graduate school. And I learned very quickly that there are only 24 hours in a day. And if you're trading every single hour for as much money as you can, you're still limited no matter how much you get paid per hour. And so you have to stop thinking about trading time for money and instead find ways to turn $1 into $2. Find ways for your money to start working for you.
Yep. Absolutely, man. And so, like, conceptually, like, that's what we really wanted to talk about on the show tonight is, what is your idea of money? And I think we kind of gave a couple of examples of what the right attitude or conceptual or concept or idea of money is versus the wrong type of idea. We've also kind of defined what an asset is. You know, an asset is something that makes you money. An asset is something that makes you money. And I asked the question, I say, I want everybody to kind of take a look around the, like, everything that they own right now, property, home, whatever it is. How many things do you have that are producing you money, assets that are making you money? Okay. And I think this is important to point out because some people may say, hey, well, I don't own a home. I don't own a car. I don't have any stocks. I don't have any savings.
Dude, that's all mindset.
My answer is all mindset. I ask, well, how many assets do you have? And an asset is defined as something that makes you money.
That's right.
So don't you make yourself money? Don't you make yourself money? Then in that example, you're the asset, right? So before you put your money and put your faith in something else, invest in you, that asset, so that you can charge a higher dollar amount, a higher premium. And that's number one, how you increase your money, how your cash flow. You feel me? Right now, you know, what is Amazon trade? What is Bitcoin trading at? $46,000. $46,000 per Bitcoin. People are rushing to put their money into Bitcoin because they want to get rich quick. All right. Does Bitcoin actually make you any money? No. It doesn't, right? In order, some stocks, you know, dividend paying stocks, I like those, but some stocks, you know, they're good, but we're talking about assets. So asset is something that's going to put money in your pocket. In order for you to make money off of a stock, you got to sell it for the price higher than what you bought it for.
That's right.
like, come on. And then once you sell it, it's gone.
I would even say that stock,
it's also gone.
Just by that definition,
so what we're talking
about. I said, really interesting distinction, because I think I think a lot of people would be like, dude, what are you talking about? Bitcoin makes me money, right? But, like, think about the verbiage there. And I took 4 years of Latin, so maybe that's why I'm, like, a nerd out. But
really, really quick. Really quick. It also can cost you money. I just saw a guy yesterday, Max Maxwell.
Seriously.
Where he said, man, I spent $435,000 on a laptop. Guess what he paid for his laptop with?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
And it appreciated on him.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
$435,000 for a laptop.
But I wanted to outline that for that definition that you just said. I think a lot of people might count their mutual funds as an asset or their stocks as an asset, and you can definitely put them up as collateral in some cases and use and leverage them. But ultimately, you're just holding commodities.
Yeah.
Unless it's actually giving you an income stream that is just a commodity that mm-hmm. may or may not appreciate. And you may or may not be able to flip it for a profit.
Yep.
In that case, the asset is the skill set that you're using to trade, not the actual commodity you hold. And that's a really interesting distinction.
I like that.
And actually,
oh, man, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, let's go into some real-life scenarios. I want to give you a physical example of what an asset is, how to really make money, how to take $1 and turn it into $2. We already established that in order to make money, you got to have assets. You want to control the asset. You don't necessarily want to own the asset. You want to control the asset. So let me give you an example. Ryan, you said earlier, you were talking about a lady, she's buying a house, she's paying off a house, you know, and everybody, you know, has a mortgage, or a lot of people have a home or have a mortgage.
It's a perfect example.
They maybe have some rental properties. And, you know, we rush to pay off this mortgage because one day we want to own the home. We want to own the home.
It's the American dream, right?
It's the American dream. It's the American dream. And then after 30 years, we've paid off this home. We don't owe the bank any more money, but we own the home. Now, let's say we needed some money from somewhere. You know, maybe we've drained our retirement account. We've sold all our stocks. We've done all this stuff. The only thing we got left is our what?
Our house.
Our house. So can we go grocery shopping with our house? No. Can we buy a new car with our house? No. Can we send our kids to college with our house? No. Those things take currency. That takes money. That takes dollar bills. But what can you do with a house? Well, you can take it to a bank. What does the bank have? Liquidity. They have money. Not just cash, but they have bonds, other things that they use, other instruments, debt instruments. And you can get a loan for that house so that you can get some cash to go pay for what you need, right? So in that scenario, you basically sign ownership over from yourself to the bank. Well, not necessarily in that scenario, but they basically put a lien on it. If you stop paying for that mortgage, or if you stop paying for that refinance, what happens to the house?
Bye bye.
To the house, Ryan.
It gets listed on websites that I surf in the evening and I look for deals. Mm-hmm. And me and way, way meaner and richer people look at it too. Your house gets foreclosed on, yes, after a few months, and you may have a trial area where you can get it back. But by leveraging your house, you've now leveraged one of the basic needs that you need to have in order to live. Isn't it food, water, and shelter? We learned in second grade that's what animals need.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're leveraging your own house to pay for emergencies or commodities or things you feel you need, well, what happens when you need more things? Still in emergency mode.
Yep. Now you got no money. Bank now takes the house. They foreclose on the house. Now they own the asset. Now, why is it an asset for the bank? Because the bank can go resell that house.
Quickly.
And 99 times out of 100, the person who they're selling the house to can't afford it. And so what do they need? They need a loan. So the loan gives the person the house, and they also give them the money to buy that house. And they make the person living in the home pay them the money back for the home. If they stop paying, they take the house. Do they give them the money that they paid back into that house back?
No.
No. They keep that money. And then they go resell the house to the next person. And so what am I saying?
I think it was you
that
the one that originally told me that it was the banking system that originated the idea of the mortgage and everyone to a house.
Yeah. profitable, right?
Seems like it.
It's very profitable. It's very profitable, right? Come on, man. The signs are right in front of our faces, right? The signs are like literally right in front of our faces. But unfortunately, I ain't going to say the power that be, but, you know, it's just not really talked about. You know, this is the 1% conversation, the 1%er conversation where, you know, a lot of us are trained and taught like, oh, let's buy a house, buy a car, do this, do that. Whereas the other people are figuring out a way, how can we get other people to pay us for those things, but still control them, still control them. So how do you turn $1 into $2? Well, number one, you buy yourself some assets. It's very important that you not own the asset, but you control the asset. I'll say that again. It's very important that you don't own the asset, but you control the asset. So in our real estate example, bank doesn't own the house, but as long as there's a mortgage on it, they control the house. They don't own the house, they don't own the mortgage, but as long as you're paying, they're making money on it. They're making money on it. That's what we call being in a secure position, a secured collateralized loan. And so why am I even bringing this up? Well, everybody has a bank. Everybody has a bank account. Everybody puts money in the bank account. Everybody say it, man, I just had an appointment with a guy earlier today. He said he opened up a high yield savings account. Guess how much they paid him for that high yield savings account?
0.1%, maybe 1%.
It was 0.5%, American Express, 0.5%. High yield savings account.
I get more than that in my checking account at Ally.
What high yield savings account, man? So
they must be high.
Yeah, they got to be out of their mind. And so, why I'm even bringing this up, man, is because sometimes the best things that are for us are literally right in front of our faces, and we overlook them because we want to get the quick fix. We want instant gratification instead of delayed gratification. You see what I'm saying? That's the way we want it in a microwave society. I don't want to hop on my soapbox, but if anybody's listening to this right now and you want to learn the easiest way to turn $1 into $2, learn how to leverage your income or your savings through cash value life insurance. That's it. Now, if you hear that and the very first thing that comes to your mind is, man, I don't need no life insurance, then, yeah, this ain't for you. Continue to be broke and poor for the rest of your life. Number two, yeah, I said what I said. If the second thought comes to your mind of, I would get life insurance, but man, I'm wondering what it costs or how much does it cost? I would say, didn't I just say that you can take $1 and turn it into $2? What matter? What does it matter if it costs, if that's what it does?
That's right. I told you, if it really does like, that, sign me up for 10 grand a month.
What? Like, come on, people. Come on, man. We got to and now before I pre-frame that, please go out and do your own research. Please go do your own research. Take your time and thoroughly start peeling back some of the layers of the onion and go down the rabbit hole and find out where banks put their money. Find out where government officials put their money. Find out where I put my money, where Ryan puts his money. Find out where the insurance company even puts their money. Do some digging. Find out where your Amazon and your Facebooks and your Googles get their money from.
That's right.
They get their loans from. Guess who funds a lot of these corporations, people? Life insurance companies, people. All right, so I'm going to hop off my soapbox right now. I'm gonna pass it back over to Ryan, man, because I don't even really know where to even.
No,
even
dude, I think you're spot on. And I love that we're talking about this in a more conceptual sense. And it is what it is. And it's, if we can catch one person and open them up to the idea that money is not green paper, it's power, and seeing what that power can do. This is what I said. And I'm still in a text chat and with some of those teachers. They're looking for jobs, looking for new places to work. And someone asked me, you know, how's the business going? And I told them, well, I'm not looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't mean that to be facetious or condescending, but it's more so than the fact that I've discovered this route and I will never, ever go back to working for somebody else in my entire life. Why? Because it all comes down to what you were saying. What assets do I have? And when I took a true inventory of myself, I realized I had way more assets than I was putting to use. And so COVID was really a blessing. I kind of really discovered that right when it happened. And I was able to sit back and really develop all those skills, learn new things. I invested thousands of dollars into education and books and ideas and talking to coaches and mentors and spent hours networking and watching videos. Why? Because I knew I wanted something different for myself. And I already had my foot in the door. I already, obviously, you know, at the start of last year, knew about life insurance. I knew about the power of leveraging assets, leveraging cash flow. But you really have to think for a minute, as you do with anything, in that mind frame, in order to be creative enough to find something that you're going to love. And now it's like it's a compound growth thing. The second you find one thing, it'll lead you to the next, a little higher, a little higher, and it's a compound rapid growth. I started my personal bank 3 years ago when I just barely knew about it. I believed enough that it was a good idea, and I just started it and then spent the next few years just figuring out how to use it. And here's another way to leverage your money. I have now recently, and don't come out to me asking for loans. This is not something that I'm doing professionally yet, but I'm getting into the personal lending business. And my dream and hope and goal is that one day I'll start a fund to help newer entrepreneurs, and there's lots of different structures for that that I'm looking into. But right now I interviewed these two small businesses. They were looking for a small loan. I asked them what they're going to do with the loan, and what was I checking for, Brandon? What was I checking for asking them what they would do with the loan?
What were you checking for? Man, that's a good question. I feel like I know what I might be checking for.
You definitely do. I was checking to see whether they were going to spend the money on a commodity or another asset, because that told me the mind frame that they were in with money. Both of them said a new asset, some things for their business. One of them needs a truck that is literally going to help them with increase their clientele. Another one was going for a license, which would allow her to charge significantly more for her service. Right. So these guys saw money as a tool, as a power. And they didn't want the money. They wanted the power. And I was able to give them that power, now I have an equity stake in their business. So instead of having money just sitting in my policy, in my personal bank, I was able to loan it out. And I'm earning interest, as you know and teach. I earn interest inside the loan and I earn interest outside the loan. And so now my money's working 2, 3, 4 times for me. But it all started because I started with one thing.
One thing. So that is the incredible power of having an asset, a pool of money, man. And I feel like it's so difficult to understand the concept if you don't have any picture or any experience to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like trying to teach trying to describe colors to a blind person.
Yeah,
it's literally like that. It's like trying to describe colors to a blind person. The what that actually means as far as your money work for you in two places at the same time. And the reason why I think it's hard for people to understand is because they have the idea of money as a green piece of paper. They have the idea of a $100 bill being linear, black and white, $100. And it's not. It's not. It's just not.
That's great, man. That's really great. You know what that reminded me of? That reminds me of a little metaphor I used to teach my students who were learning multiplication. It was just like describing colors to a blind person. And what I would tell them is, you know what? You got to study your facts every single day. You got to just study your facts. You don't get it yet. You don't understand the concepts yet. You're repeating addition, yes. And you're basic, you know, these kids are 7, 8, 9. They just basically learned numbers, to be honest. What I taught them was that once you memorize the facts, the basic concepts, the rest of math is going to open up to you like Dorothy's yellow brick road. You're just going to see it. You're just going to see it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with this. The second you flip over that gestalt flip, that paradigm shift, and you see money differently, you're like, yeah, I could spend this $5 right here on this thing I want. Or I could save it to 20 and leverage it out and bring it'll bring me back 60. And then I'll spend this $5, right? I just saw a post this the other day. You need a $60 pair of shoes. But let's say you have $140 to your name. But you have no business paying for that $60 pair of shoes. So what I would do is I'd buy two and then flip them for more than you paid for. And then you come back with $350 and then you can spend 60 on your shoes. Right? So like there's all these different options that you can do where you, it's a level of thinking and you can do it at any scale. It doesn't matter if you make $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month. If you are not using your money to multiply for you, that level of income is not going to work for long. It's just the way it is. You're just going around the monopoly board without buying assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this might sound kind of harsh and kind of like messed up what I'm going to say. But it's okay because I had to go through this myself and I got over it, you know, and I'm thank God I got over it. And I'm still trying to, or I'm not saying I'm still trying to get over it, but it's something that I have to continuously work on to get to the next level. What is that? It's the investing in yourself or investing in something. Like you said earlier, investing in education. Because you said something, you said, you know what, I'm going to just, instead of going to get or spending the $5, I'm going to go get two pairs of shoes and then I'm going to sell them and then I'll go get the money, or then I'll go spend the money. You know why 90% of people wouldn't take that idea and use it? It's because they wouldn't have faith in themselves to be able to sell the pair of shoes and get the money back and go pay for the thing they need.
Wow.
They would rather give their money to someone else, let them do it for them.
Right. And they'll pay interest on it forever.
And then pay interest on it. That's exactly what we do. And I used to do that. And so I came to the realization that I am my own best asset. I have to invest in myself. I have to learn skills. I have to learn business. I have to learn marketing. I have to learn tax-free strategies. I have to learn all that stuff so that I don't have to pay somebody else to do it for me.
That's right. Can I tell you something kind of embarrassing? Maybe this will be a good excuse for those of you watching at home. Here's a little story about this, man. This is just on that same note. If there's something, and now this can get misconstrued, but this is just an example. All right, you take it how you take it. Since 2008, and that seems like a random year, but that's when I moved to college. I graduated high school in 2008, and I moved to San Francisco. So that was the marker. Since 2008, what is that? 13 years? I've paid $40 total in haircuts. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, nah, I need my haircut every 2 weeks. They're looking at me right now. They're like, dude, yeah, you could spend a buck or two on your hair. And it's like, here's how it went. In the past 13 years, I've spent two different times I had to buy a shaver. It was a $20 kit. It lasts about 7 years before the motor busts out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I spent $40 and I learned how to cut my own hair. Now, I'm not saying you should do your own heart surgery. I'm not saying that you should try and fix your own car every single time, because there are some things you could delegate to other people.
You gotta delegate.
The point
people,
of this story is there are certain things in your life that you can own the monopoly on.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to determine what that is. For me, it was haircuts. I felt silly paying $40 for someone else to go around my head when I got a buzz every time anyways. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I can do this. I'm going to do it myself. And you can do the same thing with your own self. You can develop assets to create things for yourself to either create an extra income or reduce a common expense.
Yeah. Damn, that was good, Ryan. That was good. Mm-hmm. You just created a skill. So, bam, where are we going to invest at? We're going to own some assets. Number one, you already own yourself. Well, you technically own yourself. So don't let other people influence you is what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people, I know I like to kind of talk a little bit about self-development and personal development. And I think it's very important that we don't let the wrong people influence us to stop taking action on our goals. All right, I think that's extremely important. Really, it stopped me for the majority of my life, you know, and then once I finally comprehended and started kind of believing in the fact, and this goes for other people that you know, we've met along the way. The story is always the same. You know, Ryan, your story is no different than, you know, I'm sure people who's listening to this who are entrepreneurs, own businesses, or working on getting their business up, they all can connect with this. I'm sure they can connect with this, you know, and basically us, you know, taking our time, developing ourselves, not letting negative influences, whether it be friends, family, coworkers, inside of our mind, you know, is extremely important because, you know, what we think about is going to be what we bring about, right? The reason that a lot of us actually trust other people, or I want to say trust, because I like the idea that you said earlier, like some things are better left for other people to do. I agree. Like, for sure. Like, sometimes you just like, man, I don't have time to do that. I'd rather just pay somebody. It would cost me more money.
Let's hold on right there for a second.
Hold up. You're kind of cutting out a little bit. Get your mic on, mic back.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
All right, so let's hone in on that real quick, because you know, I don't want to jump off the deep end and say you should do everything in your life, because that's not worth it, right?
Yeah.
And why is it not worth it? Because you can make more money doing other things, right? And so it would not make the amount of time it would take for me to figure out how to fix my car is. Would cost me more than to just pay the man to fix it, and I just go continue my assets, right?
Yeah. And how do we open up this talk tonight? We said time is money. Some people confuse the two and think they're separate. They're actually one and the same thing. You either pay somebody, or you either trade your time for money, or you either trade money for time. One and the same thing. It literally is. Like the time, like you just said, the time that it would take for you to learn how to go fix your car. How long would it take you to do that?
Well, I did. I was a pizza boy for years, man. I had to fix my car. And you know what? It took a long time of studying. But now I can do spark plugs, brakes, starter, alternator, right? But it took a long time. And now I know how long that process is to do to fix any of those things. Hell no, I'm not doing it. I got a guy who comes out to my place and he'll do it. Now, do I go to an actual mechanic shop? No, I'm very distinct about where and how I spend my money in everything I do. But like, I want to, you know.
There it is. The concept shows up again, how to turn $1 into two.
It's in sometimes every place. It's in
$1.
Every step of the day.
It's in everything. Sometimes you got to pay somebody $8 so that you can make two.
Dude, when I go to the market, when I go to the supermarket and like shop for food, this is how much of a penny pincher I am. And like, this really makes a difference. But on the things that I purchase a lot of, I look at not the total price, not the 2-for-1 deal special where you think you're getting a deal. Brandon, this is so nerdy, bro. I literally look at the units per price. I look at how much cents per milliliter am I getting with this oil versus this one? Like, does that really make a difference? No. But in my mind frame, every step of the way, I'm thinking about where I can maximize. And so one raindrop raises the sea. And if you're filling a bucket with raindrops, you're getting a bucket. You know what I mean? So I'll do my best to try and max that out. And I think we can continue to use this platform to just maybe plant the seed in someone's mind. And whether they come to us for help at the Prosperity Professor or All Heroes Don't Wear Capes on all social platforms, or they just go on their own journey. Like, if I just knew that one or two, three more people were changed, dude, it's so rewarding, man. And I know that it's happening because I see it with my clients. And this has been just such an awesome journey for us to find it and learn it with our clients. And and our listeners, and with you guys at home. So we appreciate all you guys, and we're coming up. I'm being the taskmaster. We're coming up here on like the last few minutes. We did not even take a commercial break, so we are actually going to pay for this show out of our own pocket.
Yeah,
that's not
quick
good.
Commercial.
we have about a few minutes left here. If anybody wanted to drop in some questions, comments, concerns, it could be about assets, any kind of guests you would like on the show. We have some great stuff lined up next week with credit and real estate, and also business acquisitions. There's so much stuff we didn't even talk about tonight. But
we didn't, yeah.
I can't wait. So if there are any questions about any of those things, feel free to drop in the comments. But yeah, Bryn, I'm really excited to see this journey and how the people that are listening to us are also evolving. And this is so much fun.
Yeah, for real, man. For real. Yeah, just like Ryan said, man, next week we got some exciting stuff coming up, man. I actually just got off the phone with a guy who is involved in digital real estate. Now, that is very exciting to think about because we all know that physical real estate is very profitable, very profitable, right? Because, I mean, there's only so much of it. But digital real estate or our virtual property, like online, that's also limited because there's only so many domains, like so many .coms out there. And he was just kind of sharing with me that there's actually a physical or a virtual market, I guess physical virtual. I don't know what the proper terminology would be for that, but there's actually like a way to make money selling digital real estate. And you don't need a license to do it. So that's pretty good. Might want to hop on that train before it gets regulated. I'm just saying, throwing it out there. But that'll be either next week or the following week. We're still working out all the details, but we're really excited to be presenting that with you. And that's pretty much all we got. Do we got any questions? Somebody asked for the meeting, the Zoom meeting code. Eventually we're going to have something like that. We are definitely working on something that's a little bit more interactive. I know Ryan is working on some lives that he's going to be doing over on social media on Instagram, right?
Yep.
What platform are you going to be on?
You know the software better than me, tech man.
Okay. Yeah. See, look, I always say I'm not a tech man. I'm not tech savvy, but I've learned in the last 6 weeks.
I am not,
weeks.
Man. This technology to me is a magic box, and it just I used to be great at stuff, and then all of a sudden it took a curve, and now, you know, I focus on what I'm good at. I'm really good at cash value life insurance and helping people make more money. Yeah, everybody else could figure out the tech. But I got a couple questions on Instagram.
Okay, good, good. What we got?
So the first one comes from Riala, and I think I did answer it. So there's a secondary. He said, how can someone utilize their equity? I said, equity in what? And he said, home equity. So what are some ways to use your home equity? And I said, probably the most common method used, just because I talk to real estate investors every day, is probably the BRRRR method, where you buy, rehab, renovate, refinance, and repeat. That's just keeping the money in real estate, and that can be done tax-free if you do it through a 1031 exchange. So there's various ways that you can just snowball your money into growing more and more assets for you. And then what's the difference between that and taking a mortgage for emergencies? Well, if you take a mortgage for emergencies, you spend the money on the emergency and then it's gone. Now you got to start from zero paying off your mortgage. But if you take a mortgage on your home and your current equity and buy another asset that will produce cash for you, well, that's a completely different story. A completely different story. And that asset could be another piece of real estate, or it could be something else. And as long as you're certain and sure and faithful in it, in the value of it, that's a great way to use your home equity as a leverage.
Yeah.
Anything else on that, B?
No, I think that's actually pretty good. Unless we're going to talk about using home equity.
I did have another question.
Inside of a business or something like that. But I think it's a good idea that we keep our home equity separate from our house. Why do I say that? Well, home equity is just like stocks in the stock market. Values go up and down, up and down, up and down, right? So if you got a solid amount of equity in your home, especially right now with low interest rates,
and when the market is really high, hello, let me just say one thing right here. Okay, and I'm not a stock investor. I'm not a securities advisor. Do your own research. But here's a really simple term. Buy low, sell high. Okay? Yeah. Right now, everything is very high. But it could go higher. Yeah, it could. But it could also go lower. And you're not going to like that. Nobody went broke keeping profits.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Then GameStop. People got in at 500 is sick right now.
Speaking of that, I'm going to take that as a segue. Danny in Scat Pack says, what stocks are you looking at right now? And I want to preface again, this is not investment advice. Do your own research. But personally, one of my favorite stocks this week that took me to the bank three digits was Sundial. SNDL is the ticker. That is a small Canadian cannabis company. And honestly, a lot of the cannabis companies are looking at some really good news. I would get ahead of it, right? You don't want to buy on the news, because if you're buying in the news, you're too late. So you're hearing it here first, and if you're hearing it here, you're kind of too late. But, you know, I bought in at Sundial a few months ago when it was at 50 cents, and last night it hit $4.50 at early in the morning, and I was able to collect quite a significant chunk. That was a nice payday. And then it quickly dropped back down. I think it's around 250 right now, if I'm not mistaken. But even still, I think that's even still a good buy if you're looking long-term. What about you, B? What kind of stocks are you looking at?
The stocks I'm actually looking at, man, honestly, I'm going to be real. Right now, I'm not looking at any stocks because I don't have the time or the discipline to manage them, right? All of my cash right now is being invested in my own stock, which is me, my business. And so anything extra that I make, I put it right back in the business, because the bigger the business gets, the more, you know, money I can make.
I love
that,
dude.
Saying? So, like, before I trust any stock market or Wall Street people with my money, I'm a put money on myself first.
I love that, man. I love that. I want to preface that as well, is that I consider my skills in trading one of my assets, right? So that's one of the things that I just like doing. I enjoy doing it. Now, keep in mind, just like Brandon said, the proportion of my funds sitting in the stock market is like nothing, like less than 5% of even my annual income goes into stocks and equities. And meanwhile, probably about 50% of my income is going into cash value life insurance. So keep in mind, when you ask about stocks, I do have favorite stocks, but I agree with you 100%,
yeah. B. Yeah. And I'm putting 100% of my income in cash value life insurance.
I love it. I love it.
And if anybody's like 100% of your money inside of life insurance, like, well, then how do you spend money? Well, then I got a live webinar coming out pretty soon. Y'all got to be on the lookout for that. You don't want to miss it. So, any other question?
I think that was it. And Danny proved my point. He said, got in late, lost some on that. Perfect. There's my point. Case in point. Mic drop.
Yeah, got it.
If you
would
like
to
learn,
seems like that's going to be it.
Let me wrap it up. If you would like to learn about improving your cash flow, increasing the amount of assets you have, or just plain talking to someone about money mind frame, we're here for you. I am the Prosperity Professor, Ryan Stone. You can find me on all platforms. And I'm joined here with my epic friend.
Your man with a plan, Brandon Anthony Clark. Catch me on TikTok at Brandon Anthony Clark, on Instagram at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. And you can also catch me on what? YouTube platforms too, man. We getting out there. And you're listening to NSF Fatherhood Radio, man.
Shout out to NSF Fatherhood. Thank you, everybody. We'll be right back here next week, Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern. Have a good night, and let's keep growing, y'all.
Hey, yay, yay.
Is that a good show?
Yeah, it was a good show.